The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
When it comes to your investments and retirement, in this economy, it's important to be smart. And with the Smart Investor Hour heard right here on AM 1420 The Answer, you'll get both smart and intelligent information you'll need to help with your investing. So sit back, listen, and learn with your host of the Smart Investor Hour, Tim Hayes of RBC Wealth Management.
Good afternoon, and what a beautiful one it is. The sun's shining. It's outstanding out there. So anyway, let's start thinking positively. Everything you ever wanted is sitting on the other side of fear. The question isn't who's going to let me. The question is who's going to stop me. That was one of Muhammad Ali's great lines. Every strike brings you closer to the next home run, of Barry Bonds. Don't worry about failure. You only have to be right once. I have not failed. I've just delayed success. There we go. All right. So start thinking positively, all you people out there. And, you know, it was a tough week in the market. So, you know, we get that out of the way right away. And I would suggest that, you know, I've been talking for some time now that, you know, hey, a lot of the stuff that we've talked about has gone crazy on the upside. And I think the best call was Rob Schleimer and his quadrant balance oscillator back in October, the last week of October. It was really oversold, and he thought we'd have a big rally. He was right. It was a big rally. So, you know, a lot of people are getting fearful, and I think that's great. Because when you're fearful, I'm greedy. And when you're greedy, I'm fearful. Okay. So, just leave it at that. But, you know, we've been saying for some time to pull back on the chips and all that good stuff. And we're going to go into that a little bit, further in seconds, actually. So, you know, the hot topic, I guess, is, if you look at things, energy continues to outperform strongly with both the S&P 500 and the Russell, within the both of those two. And despite the big move so far, valuation is still attractive to us with both large cap and small cap on the model. So energy is going to be a place to be. And, you know, we've been talking about that. I don't know. I think we talked about it in December. We talked about it in January a little bit. So the sector continues to look interesting to us. And Lori Calvesina had some really good points. She wants to remain overweight the energy sector within the S&P 500. And she says the attractive valuations, the heightened geopolitical risks, we have Halima Croft here who has written extensively over the past week about the geopolitical risk that's occurring. Halima's on TV quite a bit. She's an ex-Navy SEAL. She's smart. She's beautiful. And she's obviously talented. So, but we remain supportive of the sector in a generalized perspective and ongoing skepticism over the Fed's ability to cut rates. Look, the 10-year Treasury broke 4.5% and it pulled back a little bit after that, but 4.5% was a key. You remember we talked about that a couple weeks ago, where it was a key area that we were worried about and we went through it. So, you know, things are getting interesting. You know, gold broke out and went straight up. As a matter of fact, I don't think I'd buy it here. I'd hope for some kind of pullback if I was going to buy it. But the gold stock didn't do well. A couple of them did, but I think it's going to get real interesting going forward. So we'll talk about that more. Now, the other thing I think is important is that Trump lost quite a bit of momentum in some of the swing state polling. Actually, there's a couple polls that I watched very, very carefully and I think have really done a good job of predicting the presidency over the time that I've been in this business, and it's been a long time. So they have now Biden with a 41% advantage over a 37% advantage, with a lot of people obviously undecided. So that, as a Republican, is tough things to listen to. But RealClearPolitics.com has been tracking trends for polls in 8 swing states, and that's where we get that information from, just so you know. And as we discuss the election with investors, we've been keeping a key eye out on whether any particular part of the equity market are becoming more aligned with the momentum behind either candidate. Okay, so as we've been digging into this issue, we have found that there's a fairly strong correlation between the Trump-Biden spread in the betting markets and the performance of U.S. equities relative to European equities. Generally, what we've seen is that Trump's been gaining on Biden and the U.S. has outperformed. And recently, as Biden has started to close the gap, equities have started to move sideways relative to Europe. So keep that in the back of your mind. So a couple other things. There was no change in our main sentiment indicators last week. So we're still, you know, we've been talking about this for a month now. People are too bullish. And you know, we got, I mean, Dow Jones was down 2.5% or 2.4% last week. So when people are greedy, you should be fearful. When people are fearful, you should be greedy, right? And layoff announcements moved up a tiny bit in the Challenger survey and tech industry, but moved lower in industrials and financials. And we'll just talk about that. And I think the other thing is the uptick in the ISM manufacturing for March bodes well for small caps relative to large caps, okay? As they turn higher in the ISM manufacturing normally occurs around when the Russell starts outperforming. So keep that in the back of your mind. You know, Lori made a great call last year, and I caught grief. Everybody said, oh, the small caps. They were up 20% in November and December, folks. Big move. So she was right. So fund flows are continuing to show signs of improvement for the cyclical and commodity sectors like energy, materials, financials, industrials, those type of things. So we'll continue to watch that very, very closely. I think what's important here is that that's a change in leadership. Okay, so that's something we all have to think about. Now, I had Joe call me right before the show. By the way, thanks, Joe. You scared me when your phone rang. And Joe is a listener of about 11 years. He said, and he asked me, Tim, where do I get all this information to talk about? Well, I'll say this again. I said at the beginning of the show, I should say at the end, I guess. If you go to WHK 1420 and you go to local podcast down to the Smart Investor Show, just go over, it takes you directly to my webpage, and there's all sorts of contact me, email me. I think dividend growth stocks are, by the way, they're starting to hold up really, really well in a down market. Is, you know, that's something you got to keep in mind. The prime income list is another one in that area. And small caps, if this is what I just said is true, the small cap area is really good. And we've been watching ADRs, and ADRs could stop going down. They're going sideways. I think that's important. And we've got some stuff that we're going to talk about that in a little bit, in a little more detail going forward here. So it's been a nearly unprecedented winning streak for the U.S. stock market. And it's a heady atmosphere that we have some nagging vulnerabilities that investors should keep up on their list, okay? We dig into these. And look, a market weight position in U.S. equities is appropriate to the balance of risks and opportunities. And how good was the recent equity rally? It's been approaching the top of the heap in terms of magnitude of the move within such a short time frame. The S&P 500 has surged 25.3% since October low. And Rob Schleimer called it. All right. The 22.5% rally in the fourth quarter of 2023 and first quarter of this year ranks among the top 5% of strongest six-month moves in the last 75 years. Okay, so that's big. And if you listen to the show, we kind of steered you right, and I'll keep that up. But But in the context of the last couple of years, the picture is less buoyant. The S&P is up only 7.6% since the January 2022 peak. How about that, folks? So, you know, I have a lot of cash then, and I wish I would have kept it. I did buy, you know, in May, but we weren't expecting the number of rate increases that the Fed did add. But it's all paid me back now, so I'm in great shape. When the market struggled in 2022 and much of 2023, it was often dogged by inflation fears. And with gold and oil and copper and aluminum hit a pretty big high this last week. These headwinds have largely receded, but you know, they raised their ugly head again. So we had the 10-year Treasury go to 4.5, and that's kind of interesting. But you know, the recently released stronger than expected consumer inflation data underscores this. Okay, so with the S&P 500 perched near 5,200, we gave it up pretty quick. But look, when you break out to a new high in a market or in a stock, usually there's a pullback, and that's what I'm suggesting. You know, we're involved in right now, and you know, look, inflation could remain sticky. There's a lot of government spending out there. I think you know, the Biden administration spent $7 trillion. Well, they spent $2 trillion in the first 2 months of the year, and they have $7 trillion more to. It's the whole total package was $7.5 trillion, so they have about $5.5 trillion more. So when you have government spending, what you could have is GDP growth could decelerate because government spending takes away from the private sector quite a bit. And I also think, you know, Halima Croft said, you've got political and military clashes in the Middle East and Eastern Europe, which could widen. And that would be probably the scariest thing that would happen. But look, I think as Alan Greenspan said, and I wasn't a big fan of his, but Alan Greenspan said, inflation is a fight that's never finished. And the fight's not finished yet. So I think, you know, we had higher than consensus March Consumer Price Index headlines. And then, you know, we had another report right after it, which was a little bit less bullish for inflation. So I will say this. The inflation pressures in March were broad-based, okay? And that is a problem. however, a lot of it, you know, used car prices came down hard, but a lot of it's car related. Now what we're seeing is a pickup in the price of parts because, you know, you couldn't get them during the pandemic and now they're getting expensive. The services involved with it, you know, that type of thing. So we'll see what goes on. And housing. Housing continues to be a bit of a problem. So, you know, so the question is, gross domestic product, the marginal growth does have a marginal impact on a lot of these companies. So and also the geopolitical crude connection is a big one. So I think you've got to strike a balance here. And people say, oh, you know, crude's going away, gasoline's going away. Not today. All right. I think, you know, a lot of people, I think electric cars are now 4% of the economy. They're having some problems. I mean, there's a couple of them that look like they're on the verge of going out of business. So these are things that you have to pay attention to. And I think it's important going forward. So we'll just keep it there. Now, look, I said that in 2024, we thought there would be a convergence of the haves and have-nots. And what we're seeing is the Magnificent Seven, their earnings growth rates are expected to converge with the rest of the market. And so we'll see what goes on further. But, you know, you can't keep a 30, 40, or 50% growth rate on forever. But, you know, a 10 to 12% growth rate is just fine, by the way. So they may stall out a little bit, but, you know, we take it from there. But, you know, regardless of the first quarter earnings results, and it was kind of interesting, a lot of the banks showed some pretty good earnings, and I think they talked their stocks down a little bit, but there's that's a positive shift. That means that we're going to have to look we have to be stock pickers going forward instead of just putting your money into seven stocks and hoping for the best. So I think there's some vulnerabilities, okay, that we're looking at going forward. And, I think the earnings could be a hiccup. And, you know, we had bank earnings, a couple banks come out last week, and they kind of talked down their earnings, and boom, they got whacked. And then we had, the Middle East again. I think that's been ongoing for about 50 years now. But we also have Ukraine, and things are happening around the world that are causing some disturbance in the force. So oil looks good too. So we'll see what happens going forward. Okay. So I think central banks took center stage in March, and it was a flurry of highly anticipated policy meetings, but the U.S. Federal Reserve for change took a back seat. All right. The Bank of Japan was the first out of the gate. They finally are raising rates modestly and back into positive territory for the first time since negative policy rate was employed back in 2016. That's 8 years, folks, of negative. So what they said was, you give us your money and you can pay us 4%. That makes no sense to me at all. But anyway, the Swiss National Bank caught off markets off guard with a rate cut. So the European Central Bank and the Fed both remained on track for June rate cuts. I think there's a lot of people questioning that going forward because of the oil, gold, aluminum, copper. Copper's broken a nice downtrend, and that means the copper stocks probably, the copper stocks have actually jumped ahead of copper, where the gold stocks have languished, which is, I don't know why that is, but, we'll figure it out going forward. So maybe it's time to switch, I don't know. But I just think, the global fixed income market is getting more complicated as we go because different countries are doing their own thing. They're not just following the Fed. And that's something that we have to pay pretty close attention to going forward, I think, in my opinion. So for those of you who like bonds, remember, the last couple of years have been hard on bonds. You've lost money two, three years in a row if you held a bond. And somebody said, well, if I held a bond and mature, it'd be fine. Well, look, if I bought a stock at 50, it goes to 40, I'm still losing money. But if I wait 5 years and it goes to 90, I've made money. Okay? So stocks and bond prices do the same thing, and it's that simple. So I think it's important that we continue to watch the bond market and buy when opportunity presents itself. The move in the 10-year might be a good idea, So I think, municipals had a bad month again. So, when the price has a bad month, that means the yield goes up. You buy yield when it's up. Okay. Now everybody's trying to top ticket and that there's an old joke about Alan Greenspan going to heaven. There's a guy there that knows all about interest rates. It's an old joke. The point is that trying to top tick interest rates is like, you see a stock go straight up and you want to get the highest price. Good luck. That doesn't, it doesn't work that way. Hey, let's take a break. This is Smart Investor Show. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
All right, hey friends, Bob France here. How are those floors looking right about now after a sloppy winter? Well, the time for that new flooring, that new floor covering, that new carpet, that time is now thanks to the Floor King. The Better Business Bureau A-plus rated Floor King now offering you a choice. 24 months of 0% interest financing or 10% off the total purchase price right off the top. That sale ends at the end of the month, April 30th. You've got to call now. 216-640-5000. Set up a free in-home estimate today when you think flooring. Think Floor King.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Ohio Army National Guard. Aired by the Ohio Association of Broadcasters and this station.
At RBC Wealth Management, we are proud of our reputation for putting clients' interests first. Our steadfast commitment to helping clients achieve their financial goals includes giving back to the communities we serve. Through supporting youth education, human services, and the arts, we hope to make tomorrow better for everyone. Call Tim Hayes at 216-774-8906. RBC Wealth Management, a division of RBC Capital Markets, LLC, member NYSE, FINRA, SIPC.
Okay, we're back. You know, I've been talking for some time now about our chief investment officer survey and kind of an early view on generative AI spending. And one of the things that I've been noticing is the pickup in software deals. There have been one, two, three, four, and one that's a rumor this weekend that Salesforce is involved in. And these were all top picks on our software list. So let's hope it continues because I got several more that I bought recently. Anyway, so, you know, what we did was we surveyed 156 IT professionals. So that's including CIO, CTO, and IT managers from companies with revenues ranging anywhere from $250 million to, you know, $25 billion. Okay. So, what they told us was that spending intentions are still in line to slightly better than what they thought were at the end of the year, and that software remains a top priority. And obviously, by the number of companies that are getting bought, it's a big time priority. And we'll just leave it at that. So the key is we'll just leave it at that. but spending intentions by software companies were most positive towards AI and cybersecurity. So keep that in the back of your mind. And I think early spending intentions on GI technology looks overwhelmingly positive. You know, several banks were interviewed and they're going whole hog into AI, generative AI. So the question is, where's the money coming from? And it's all about new budgets. Okay. So, and what they said was the hyperscalers are most likely beneficiaries in the generative AI in the near term. And a lot of those guys are the rumors of who the takeovers are coming from. So we'll keep that in the back of our mind, too. I did notice, let's just put it this way. I thought from, there was some quotes out there that I thought were interesting. And from an investor standpoint, the investments are intended to enable our workforce today to become more proficient. So whether we're talking about an augmented reality application to improve worker safety or a smart welding machine or machines learning from our buyers again, all of our investments are targeted at making each worker more efficient. That was a major company that's in the aerospace area. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And then a rose by any other name would smell as sweet, and that's from another person who was at a technology, virtual reality show. So I think that's kind of interesting too. So, AI is going to do what the internet has done. Remember all the things that you had to do before the internet? You had to go shopping. You couldn't stand by your, you know, and have your thing delivered the next day. You couldn't do that. Okay. You know, if you needed information, you know, I remember the Encyclopedia Britannica, you know, Britannica was sitting on my, you know, at every library. We had to do our homework, you know, based on that. And that was probably 10 years old. So it's interesting. Now we get up to date information and we said the internet would change the world. Well, I think AI is going to change the world too. So I don't think this is over at all, by the way. Now, one of the things I did look at, and I was watching, you know, every month I look at the monthly charts. Okay. Every week I look at I look at the S&P 500 in sectors. I look at the weekly charts. Okay. And every day I look at the daily charts. All right. And the company that Salesforce is looking at was on my daily charts for 3 days, and I was looking for it to pull back, and it's too late now. All right. So, but the monthly charts, you know, and I've been talking about the chip industry, and, you know, look, this Taiwan earthquake is probably very beneficial for a lot of the U.S. companies, because it's going to hurt their production a little bit for one of the major manufacturers in the space. So, but if you look and you look at the chart for the last, you know, I mean, since 2000, we haven't broken out to a new high, and we were very close up until last week, and we gave it up a little bit. Now that's a base. Okay. Now it's got a, you know, the base has a, kind of a long drawn out bottom. All right. But, you know, you're talking about 24 year base. And if we break out of that, you know, semiconductors are going to be a place to be. So I think, you know, the U.S. semiconductor policy is solely based on subsidizing local manufacturing processes. It's also, I think, in reality, it aims to stymie Chinese efforts at developing advanced chips. Okay. But we'll just go from there. At least our people think this that way. But I think, you know, the fact that China is pushing back, you know, like that's one of the things that happened Friday. They said that, you know, don't put foreign chip manufacturers in your products, which is, you know, you when the Chinese government says that, you do it. Okay. You don't ask questions, because, you won't like the answer. All right. So the key is that the positioning for the semiconductor manufacturing is reshoring. Okay. So the semiconductor industry is happening at a time when there's a glut of chips out there. But this is, you know, typical and notorious cyclical chip industry. You know, they keep building and building and building. And what you see is there's double orders. Okay. So it'll be interesting to see if we break out of this monthly chart to a new high, because if it is, you know, we're just about to step up, you know, because when you break out to a new high on a chart, that means there's no resistance above you. There's nobody selling. Okay. And usually when you break out, by the way, there's a pullback, and then, you know, people say, I can't pay that high. And then they wait for it to pull back. It usually doesn't pull back far enough for them, and then they miss the opportunity. So the key here is that you, you know, chips are pulling back. We told you they would. We said, you know, be careful with them. Okay. It came a long way. Same with the data centers, by the way. So I think it's just something that you have to pay close attention to. Now, you know, we had a strong CPI inflation report, and the 10-year yields moved between 4.50 and 4.5%, and that's a 61% retracement level of the 2023 decline. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, I mean, this changes the venue, because we broke through resistance. So we'll see. We now have kind of like an uptrend forming. So, you know, it supports a more tactical, cautious view going forward. Okay. So if you're out there and you're dying to buy something, maybe now is not the time. And I pulled back on a couple ideas I really like. And then I bought some on Friday. But I think you got to, you know, If we go to 5% or we go to 4.7%, which is kind of the next level, we went to 5% back in October of last year, and that's kind of where we bottomed. Okay, so if we get back there again, I think there could be some problems. And the RSI for the 10-year yield is kind of getting to the overbought range. So we'll see what happens going forwards. Look, we broke out on the S&P 500 to a new high. So there's a pullback in order. And, we talked about the quadrant balance oscillator that Rob Schleimer talked about. It was deeply oversold back in October. It was deeply overbought in January. And it's been going sideways. And it's, it might start to head south for a while. It'd be interesting to see, what it comes up with. The small cap indices still look good to me as far as I'm concerned. Lori Calvacino has been talking about them for some time. And I think, the gold stocks, and we're going to talk about gold stocks in the second half of the show. And the copper stocks, like I said, have gone farther ahead than actual price of copper. Price of copper is not a new high. That would occur at 490, I think, this pound. So things are getting interesting, all right? And I think, look, you need some volatility occasionally in order to pick up really good companies. And I think this is just a great time for dividend growth stocks. I'm telling you, the Fed policy shift, and they're worried about inflation is going to make the yields go up, but they're holding better. All right. I've been, because I got the list and I'm following them and they're holding up better, meaning that they've anticipated a lot of this. And I think they look compelling versus the broader market. Okay. And that's something to keep in mind. So, if fixed income goes up again, we're almost two standard deviations on a relative PE valuation of the dividend aristocrats versus the S&P 500. So we're two standard deviations almost down from where the average is. Those are buying opportunities, folks. It's just, people are, they watch the TV and they want it to happen now. Can't happen tomorrow. It's got to happen now. And that's not always the best idea. But let's take a break. We'll be right back. I'm going to talk more about dividend growth, and we'll be right back on a couple other really good ideas. So stay tuned.
Looking out on the morning rain, I used to feel so uninspired.
Hey friends, whether it's winter snow or spring rain, if you've got cracks in your basement foundation, the water's coming in and there's nothing you can do to stop it. Well, there is, but you've got to take the steps. This is Bob France, and the first step is to call G&J Waterproofing of Cleveland at 440-687-6079. Listen, that water collecting in the basement, that's annoying, but the mold that comes with it, that's downright dangerous. You can't keep breathing that stuff in. Call G&J Waterproofing at 440-687-6079. Harry and his team at G&J are A-rated by the Better Business Bureau and Angie's List, and they've won every service award in the industry. They've also got the best warranty in the business because they do the best job in the business for the best pricing in the business. Call 440-687-6079 for a free inspection. Mention my name, and they'll beat any confirmed competitor's estimate for the same work. Get your basement done right from a company that's right. That's right. These guys are patriots who see things the way you and I see them. G&J Waterproofing of Cleveland, 440-687-6079 today.
This is Dennis Prager, and now a truly exciting new benefit. My monthly online video get-together for Pragertopia Plus members only. For an hour each month, get an exclusive chance to ask me anything. I'll be answering your questions. I've never done this. Submit your questions for me at Pragertopia.com. This is our chance to connect like never before. Go to Pragertopia.com or click the banner at DennisPrager.com.
When rolling over your 401k, it's easy to get lost. Look to the experienced, knowledgeable financial advisors from RBC Wealth Management to guide you through the whole 401k rollover process. It's all part of designing a plan that's tailored to your unique investment needs. Call Tim Hayes at 216-774-8906. RBC Wealth Management, a division of RBC Capital Markets, LLC. Member NYSE, FINRA, SIPC.
Ooh. Lenny's on go again with the music. Good job, Lenny. So I think there's two key themes developing here, folks. Number one, dividend stocks are really cheap. And if you're looking for income, not today, well, you know, on dividend growth portfolios, look, the average gain in our dividend growth portfolio is 6 to 8% a year. And that's beating inflation by double, okay? Over the last 10 years, it's really beaten inflation. And the fact that they're down because interest rates are up are telling me you got a buying opportunity. The other thing is a lot of people are getting frightened about the election. And the only election I've ever really been frightened about was the one in 2000. And we got kind of whacked after that. And then the one in 2008, there was a little bit of whacking before it. All right. So, but if you look, neither party has an advantage as far as the stock market's concerned. Okay. So, you know, dividends, you can't fake dividends. If they're raising their dividend 6 to 8%, that means they got a darn good balance sheet. Okay. So, look, if you look at the 4-year presidential cycle track record, the election year, we averaged 7.5%, our mean's 10.7. So it's not a bad year. Now, we made a lot of that up in the first quarter, which is unusual because usually the first, generally till June, you know, we're flat, okay? And then we make our move. And then again, in October, if the market is down in October, the incumbent says bye-bye. And if the market is up in October, then the incumbent says hello again. And like I said, you know, there's a lot of presidential polls right now where Biden's gained some ground, right? Much to my mistake, because I'm a hardcore Republican, as you know. Anyway, so it's a situation where, you know, look, it matters what the Federal Reserve's doing. And the Federal Reserve is still talking about lowering interest rates. So we'll see. Now, the other thing is, when you have sell-offs like this, the market's usually ahead of the game, okay? So the market's usually 5, 6, 7, maybe even 8, 9 months ahead of the economy. So when you start to have sell-offs, that's telling you that they're worried about something. Could it be the Middle East? Could it be Ukraine? Could it be oil prices? Could it be inflation? You know, it could be a lot of things. Yes, it could all be all those. So the point is that, you have a situation where I think there's a lot of bigger issues than Biden, Trump. Okay. Our debt situation, you know, and that could be verted back to politics, I guess. But, you know, the point is that the Federal Reserve is the key. The liquidity is the key. And, if you look at the big power politics, the landscape has shifted a long time ago. So, you know, we had kind of the united one-party control from 1900 to 1952, and then we have a divided party control between 1953 and 2023. So just keep all that in the back of your mind. I think it's important. The one thing that we're starting to see, and I've talked about for a while, is gold broke out, and it went straight up. I mean, I've been trying to buy it for a week and a half, and every day it goes up. And then Friday, it kind of had a short-term rat's tail. So it goes up and then sells off. Starts the day up, ends at the low of the day, and does it on fairly high volume. So we'll see if it pulls back after that. But look, we've got a couple different research reports that I think are dynamite. And it comes from, Halima's Cross Group is wonderful. This happens to be Sam Crittenden, who is the analyst. And, Halima handles all the commodities. He handles the mining stuff. And look, you know, copper was up 6.6% last week and opened the week higher. All right. So, the copper stocks are actually ahead of copper. So, I think there's some really good ideas in the copper area on a pullback. And then I think, you know, the other thing you have to look at is, look, where there's copper, there's usually gold. Okay, now usually if gold is outpacing copper, we got things to worry about. But we just added two stocks to our favorite stock list in the gold area. And I thought that was kind of interesting. And I think it's one of those things where, you know, let's just put it this way. I have found that, you buy these things, and if gold continues to go up, they're going to go up with it. It's just, you know, one of the two main scenarios going forward. But we just added two new gold stocks, and I think that's a great report to grab. But we're basically saying to be overweight precious metals, uranium, fertilizers, market weight, and diversified in bulks, and then base metals and energy transition metals, all to be overweight on all of them. So I think there's, you know, it's a shift in leadership again, okay? That's what keeps a bull market going. You know, there is rotational leadership, and that's something to keep in the back of your head. And I think this is a good time. And like I said, gold went straight up, so you don't want to buy things when they're straight up. Let it pull back, and I think you want to buy gold stocks personally because they've underperformed. And if you'd like that list, obviously we can provide it to you and take it from there. Now, I also had a lot of people ask me about data centers, and folks, some of these stocks have gone crazy, all right, on the upside. And what's interesting, some of the names that we liked just stayed even. Some of the names that we really liked stayed even. Some of the names that we just liked went crazy. So he had the right ideas. He just he might have given the wrong, you know, impression. But the one stock he really liked, or the two stocks he really liked, both went up like 50-60% since last summer, which isn't a bad week. but look, I think you can understand, you know, we're talking about semiconductors. You know, the chart, look, on a monthly basis, looking like it could, you know, I mean, it's pulling back right now, but if it breaks out, that could be a, you know, that's a 24-year consolidation that you've just broken above. So the next gen AI chips and servers require additional cooling technology. So on this sell-off, you know, might be a good time to be looking at these ideas. So the traditional HVAC systems would be way too expensive. You know, air conditioning would be way too expensive. So they have what they call wraparound liquid cooling things for these servers. And we think it's the way of the future, and because it's a lot cheaper. And there's a lot of names out there, you know, that are really interesting. And it's multiple secular themes. Now, just so you know, one software company has spent $2.5 billion in the last month and a half on data centers going forward. One company. So if you don't think this is a theme to go forward with, wrong idea. So look, I think you got to look at data center liquid cooling markets. I think there's an advantage of cooling versus air conditioning. And there's three types of cooling techniques that you should know. And there's some key players in each one of those spaces. So that report is six. I mean, we were talking about that in June. Okay. So, and it's a really good analyst too, by the way. By the way, the ones he got really right. So Dean's a phenomenal analyst as far as Tim Hayes is concerned. So look, I think a couple things going forward is that the quadrant balance momentum oscillator that we talked about back in September and October, late September, early October, is now overbought. Okay, so I think, I didn't see it this weekend, but I would suggest, you know, Friday probably gave it up a little bit. But, you know, we have quite a bit of support at 4,800. We got a lot of support at 5,100. So it'll be interesting to see if we get there. But look, we've been in an uptrend since that last week in October, and now we're pulling back a little bit. So we've killed the uptrend line, which happens. It's not the end of the world. It just means that there's going to be a bit of a pullback. But look, I think you got to understand, you know, what we're talking about is an opportunity, I think, not the end of the world. A lot of people told me that back in, look, I had some people that are scared to death back in 2022. Okay. Some people stepped completely out. And I get it. You know, I mean, fear and greed run the stock market. But when your stomach's turning, 9 out of 10 times, you should be buying. Okay. Now, look, I've said on this show before, you know, I think in 2007, I came out in the middle of the summer and I said, I think cash is going to outperform the stock market. And I stayed that way for a year. I mean, I took money out of the money markets. Okay. So, I mean, I get a feel for when things are bad. And I think the important thing is that, you know, we came out in March of 2009 and said we thought we hit a generational low. And that's not me speaking. That's a lot of our experts speaking, okay, because I read all that stuff. I do think the Russell 2000 is going to get interesting, and we'll go from there. But let's take a break. This is the Smart Investor Show. I'm Tim Hayes. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Wouldn't it be nice to keep income rolling in even long after you retire? At RBC Wealth Management, we can help you invest for the future that you want and create a personalized plan to help you create the steadfast flow of income you'll need throughout your retirement. Call Tim Hayes at 216-774-8906. RBC Wealth Management, a division of RBC Capital Markets, LLC, member NYSE, FINRA, SIPC.
Let's face it. There's a reason Cleveland homes have a stormwater drain line.
Basement flooding can be a real issue thanks to Lake Erie and spring showers.
Now, we hope it's not a problem for your home, but if it is, you know what we're talking about.
And you probably have a sump pump installed, if not more.
What we'd love to do for you is inspect your sump pump for free because we don't want you to discover problems after things get wet. We'll ensure your pump powers up, turns on, pumps water, is sized properly, and hasn't collected debris in the basin or sump. A full inspection at no cost to you.
And if any problems do turn up,
you'll have just saved yourself some real spring shower headaches.
And our straight-talking, hard-working, do-it-right plumbers will show you the issue.
And explain all your options for a fix. Because no Cleveland homeowner should get surprised by basement flooding.
So call for a free sump pump inspection and consider it done at WyattWorks.com.
When it comes to managing your retirement, it's easy to get lost. Look to RBC Wealth Management to guide you. Our experienced, knowledgeable financial advisors will build your investment strategy by designing a plan that's tailored to your unique financial needs. Call Tim Hayes at 216-774-8906. RBC Wealth Management, a division of RBC Capital Markets, LLC. Member NYSE, FINRA, SIPC. Visit rbcwealthmanagement.com.
Margaret Tooth and Lenny. Anyway, so look, I want to emphasize a couple things, if I may. Number one, the Russell is Russell 2000 is an interesting looking chart. I think small caps are finally going to get out of the way, but I don't think today is the day to buy them. Okay, so just keep that in mind. The other thing is, you know, the bullish sentiment is still way up there. Okay, so. You had this huge move, and people aren't, you know, the bullish sentiment occurred the jump occurred in February. You missed most of the move, all right? And the bears are at like 22%. You know, look, the best thing that can happen is like we talked back in October, the bears were at 55%. You know, that's what you want, all right? That's when you get the best buying opportunity. So, I think it's coming. It's just maybe not today. All right. So, you know, keep that in mind. You know, by the way, commodities and the dollar, and I'm not telling you to trade commodities. I don't think that's a good idea. But, you know, I do think the dollar needs to fall further, you know, because when the dollar falls, people can buy more commodities with their dollars, because most commodities are priced in dollars. Okay, so keep that in the back of your head. So we've been talking about ADRs quite a bit, and you know, inflationary pressures are starting to fade. They did not have the car problem that we did. So some of the pricing of real estate is still up, but the car thing has not been been a big problem. And a lot of the supply chain bottlenecks have eased over there. All right. So we'll see if the commodity shock is over yet. We don't know about that yet. But I think, you know, as I've said on the show many, many, many times, when did Noah build the ark? When it started raining? Wrong answer. I think he built it well before the rain. Now, people thought he was crazy, right? But he built the ark, all right? And when it started raining, that's when everybody started to jump on board, okay? So I think ADRs are cheap. They're a lot cheaper than most of the American stocks. And there'll come a time. Now, the relative performance of small caps and ADRs are still not turning up. Let me repeat that. The relative performance compared to the S&P 500 of small caps and ADRs are not turning up versus the S&P 500. What is an ADR? I forgot to mention that. For those people listening to the show for the first time, it's an American depository receipt. Okay? So it's a foreign stock that trades on the New York Stock Exchange or the NASDAQ. It helps you with the currency problems. So I think that's a real good idea. I do know that we have just come up with our top 30 global ideas for 2024, the second quarter update, which is always an important thing. But look, this list remains one of our high conviction, long-term ideas. I'm going to emphasize that. This isn't for you guys who, you know, watch CNBC religiously. It's just nuts as far as I'm concerned. But we try to keep these quarterly updates so we can look at any dynamic changes in names where we see higher conviction upside potential. So what we do is, if we're very convinced that the idea should be bought, we figure out which one is either up a lot or hasn't been performing, and we drop it. So it's an ongoing process. We can run this portfolio for you, by the way, but there's a lot of American names on here. There's a lot of foreign names on here. There's a lot of American names that do a lot of business in the overseas. So there are some really interesting ideas on this list. So if you want it, you know, once again, we keep telling people, go to WHK 1420, go to local podcast down to Smart Investor Show. It can take you directly to my webpage. While you're there, I get financially organized, folks. Family inventory workbook. It'd be much easier for your kids and your family if everything's in one spot. And if you want, I'll hold on to a copy for it for you. So just let your lawyer know, okay? And then the other thing is the wealth plan. I just talked to some people last week who are so happy to get the wealth plan. They just took all their grandchildren and their children to a very nice place in Florida, and they're very happy. I told them to do it. I said, you can afford this. And so let's talk about the long term just a second. Remember, we have these generational cycles. They're called structural bull markets, and we have structural bear markets. We went through one between 2000 and 2016. We now have current cycle that'll probably last 16 to 18 years. So it'll probably peak around 2034. So don't get overly bearish. All right. Remember, if we have the basic, you know, from the bottom to the top type scenario, the bottom in 1929 to the top in 62 was 2,300%. The bottom in 1972 to the top in 2000 was 2,300%. If we just go to 2000, we're looking at 14,000 on the S&P 500. That's still a long way from here, okay? So keep that in mind. The other thing we talked about ad nauseum last year was that four-year cycle, the repetitive four-year cycle. Well, we started it, okay? So the bad news is kind of out the door for another year or two, we think, anyway. And people didn't believe me, but that October, I told you that they wouldn't ring a bell at the bottom. Rob Schleimer rang the bell. Okay. And I think, you know, right now, the, you know, he's not ringing the bell. He's waiting for pullbacks to buy things. And I think that's the way you should do it, too. Okay. So keep that in mind. In the meantime, have yourself a great weekend. It's beautiful out there. Get outside. Enjoy the fresh air. And the Masters is on this weekend. So it'll be interesting to see who wins. I'm rooting for somebody, but I'm not going to say it because I'll get all sorts of emails. In the meantime, remember, this is the Smart Investor Show. Have a great weekend. If you'd like any information, WHK's webpage there. Buy low, sell high. Have a great weekend.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Investor Hour. To reach Tim during the week, call him toll-free, 888-223-7742. That's 888-223-7742. Or visit his website, rbcwmfa.com/Tim Hayes. That's all one word in the address bar, rbcwfma.com/Tim Hayes. Please join us again next Saturday for the Smart Investor Hour to hear more smart investing from Tim Hayes of RBC Wealth Management.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.